بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد, so we were discussing the different types of ijaza, and we all of the different types of ijaza, and we saw some ijaza certificates. We saw Sheikh Yasin Al-Fadani's certificate as well. So we're still carrying on with this. We were on the chapter of munawala. And munawala basically means to kind of gift something, you know, nawalani fulan, and somebody gifted me something. So we were still on that. واشترطوا في صحة الرواية بالمناولة اقترانها بالإذن بالرواية وهي إذا حصل هذا الشرط أرفع أنواع الإجازة لما فيها من التعيين والتشخيص. And saying that a condition of munawala for riwayat of munawala to be sahih is that it needs to be accompanied with a ijaza, with a permission. So if somebody was to give, by the way, this is a book that's just come out. I just wanted to, let me just stop sharing the screen. I can show you. This is a volume one. It's called Al-Madkhal ila Ilm al-Hadith al-Sharif, an introduction to the science of the noble hadith. It is compiled by Mufti Muaz Chatti from Blackburn. It is quite big. It's about 500 pages. And so this is a free copy that he's given me, courtesy copy. It's very good in the sense that it goes through the compilation and the hadith, how it was compiled, and some of the history of the hadith that we mentioned, and then he goes on to look at takhrij and how to kind of source books, source hadiths from books, and he goes into a bit of the jarh and ta'dil, and then goes through specific books of hadith which are written for takhrij with diagrams and things like that. So it's got a lot of, and then he also has, he's got loads of diagrams in it. Also, he has this section. He has a lot of these codes in there where you can actually download, like say scan me here, you can download the books from archives. So it's a very, I think to my knowledge, on this particular topic of takhrij, it is the most extensive book written in English with a lots of graph. Mashallah, Mufti Sab, he has worked very hard on this. So this is called Al-Madkhal ila Ilm al-Hadith al-Sharif, Introduction to the Science of the Noble Hadith, compiled by Mufti Muaz Chatti. I'll give a reference to it at the end. So I just wanted to show you that this is one of the latest books in the market.
Well, mine just came in the post the other day. I was actually going to ask you, obviously, once you've read it, because I was thinking, because how we talked about the science of hadith, etc. Is this, do you think, from what you've seen so far, like from a Hanafi point of view?
No. This is not. So this is not science of hadith. I think he's got in his introduction. He basically writes that there's a volume two coming out, and the volume two is going to be Mustalah al-Hadith, and there's a volume three which he's already working on. So mashallah, he must have worked on all of this, and then he's publishing them as he's editing them, and the volume three will be basically the six imams and their biographies. So this is not really Mustalah al-Hadith. This is just kind of, at least this volume is not Mustalah al-Hadith. He's going through the history of Hadith compilation and then just looking at the different books that have been written. So it's not really, and then the sources of Takhrij. That's all he's done in this 500 pages. I know that he has got lectures on Hanafi hadith as well, but this one doesn't deal with that. It's just purely kind of more of a historical and then more of a hands-on on how to use these takhrij books. Yeah. Okay. So So saying that munawala, when it is muqtaran bil ijaza, when the munawala is accompanied by the ijaza, then this is the highest form of ijaza. The reason why is because the sheikh is giving a particular book to a particular student and then basically saying to that student that, you know, I give you ijaza to do riwayat. So that's very, very strong because it's defined. The mujaz bihi is defined, the mujaz lahu is defined, so and the ijaza is there. So it is very it's the highest form of ijaza. Lima fiha min at-ta'yin wa at-tashkhis wa suratuha. How does this work? Ayyadfa'u ash-shaykhu aslahu, that the shaykh gives his asl. And in this book, he actually has some things about manuscripts as well, and how exactly words and things. So it's a very, very good repository. Obviously, he doesn't follow a lot of the academic conventions of writing, but he's not writing for a university academic community. He's writing for a madrasa dars in Islam community. So that's fine. But he basically breaks things down, you know, very, very, you know. So, for example, here we have, I don't know if you can see this. He's basically saying, fi qaf as-salat, and he's breaking it down. What do these things mean? So it's very good because it takes it back to the lowest common denominator. وَسُورَةُ أَيَّدْفَعَ الشَّيْخُ أَصْلَهُ. The surah of this is that the sheikh gives his original to the student, أَوْ مَقَامَ مَقَامَهُ لِلطَّالِبِ, or that which is a proxy to the original, meaning that it might be a copy, and he gives that copy to the student. As I told you last time, that sheikh Allama Musa Shaheen Lashin made photocopies of his handwritten works of Fathul Bari, and he gave, you know, is bounded, and he gave it to us. So that will be qa'im maqam. أو يحضر الطالب الأصل للشيخ, or the student produces an asl and gives it to the sheikh. Either he got it from somewhere or he copied it from somewhere. ويقول له في السورتين, and in these two scenarios, the scenario where the teacher is giving the asl or the student is producing an asl, هذا روايتي عن فلان فربه عني. This is my riwayat from such and such rawi, such and such sheikh. Go and do narration from me. Okay. وَشَرْطُهُ أَيْدًا أَيُّمَكِّنَهُ مِنْهُ. And also the condition of munawala is that the sheikh gives the student ownership, يُمَكِّنَهُ, ownership of discretion. How? إِمَّا بِالتَّمْلِيكِ, either through ownership, okay? So the right to discretion, the right to do, to hold that, and the right to have that. How? إِمَّا بِالتَّمْلِيكِ, either by giving him and making him owner of the book, أو إِمَّا بِالْعَارِيَ, or loaning him that copy. So remember, we are talking about munawala here. Munawala, there has to be a physical exchange. If there isn't a physical exchange, then this is not called munawala. Right, this is called ijaza, or it's something else. In order for it to be munawala, something needs to be given. Either that needs to be given permanently, as you know, Mufti Muaz has given this book to me as a present, or you know, the teacher basically loans it to the student, says, "This is my asal. I have loaned it to you, okay, on the condition that." You copy it, you learn it, and then you give it back. So, for example, Mufti Shabir Saab, who Mufti Muaz also dedicates his book to Mufti Shabir, who's one of my teachers. Mufti Shabir Saab, when he gave me his Sanad of Tirmizi that I showed you before, he basically said, "I will only give it you if you handwrite the ijaza yourself and not photocopy it." So I had to handwrite the entire ijaza, and that's the only way that I was able to receive that ijaza from him. So then obviously I had to give his book back. So this is aria. So either bit tamlik aw imma bil aria. Aria is a temporary loan. لِيَنْقُلَ مِنْهُ وَيُقَابَلْ عَلَيْهِ. So, aria, why? So that you can copy it and compare it. وَإِلَّا إِنَّا وَلَهُ وَاسْتَدْرَدَ فِي الْحَالِ فَلَا يَتَبَيَّنْ لَهَا زِيَادَةُ مِزْيَةٍ عَلَى الْإِجَازَةِ الْمُعَيَّنَةِ. If that is not the case, meaning that the muhaddis is not giving tamkeen of those material to the student, either by making him malik or giving him those materials as a loan for a short amount of time so that the student has the capacity to write it and then compare it and compare the notes, etc. If he doesn't do that, if he just gives it to him and then 5 minutes later he takes it back, inna walahu wastadrada fil hal, if he gave it to him and straight away took it back, fala yatabayyan laha ziyadatu mizyatin ala al-ijaza al-mu'ayya, this does not give this form of munawala any distinction over a specific type of ijaza. It's like that's this is why I said it's just like giving an ijaza. Yeah. So when Mufti Shabbir Sahib, when he gave me that sanad, and he basically said, I gave it, so he didn't only give it to me, he gave it to a few of us, and he said, I'm only giving it to you if you copy it down. So imagine he gave it, and then, 1 minute later, he took it back before we were able to copy it, then that there will be no difference between the ijazah that he's given me and the rest of the students who, by dint of being in the class, listening to the hadith, and graduating, it'll exactly be the same. Whereas, in this situation where he gave me his actual manuscript and he said, write it down, and then afterwards we gave it back to him, the three or four of us who did that, that's a distinction over the rest of the students. Does that make sense? Yeah. So this is why he's saying that if he gives it and takes it straight away, فَلَا يَتَبَيَّنْ لَهَا زِيَادَةُ مِزْيَةٍ عَلَى الْإِجَازَ الْمُعَيِّنَةِ وَهِيَ أَنْ يُجِيزَهُ الشَّيْخُ بِرِوَايَةِ كِتَابٍ مُعَيِّنٍ وَيُعَيِّنْ لَهُ كَيْفِيَةَ رِوَايَةُ لَهُ. And that is that the Shaykh gives. So what is this إِجَازَ مُعَيِّنَةِ? إِجَازَ مُعَيِّنَةِ is that the Shaykh gives إِجَازَ to the student to do riwayat of a particular book, and also stipulates how the riwayat should be. Like, you can't do the riwayat from your memory, you have to look into the book. So that's the munawala is one step more, in the sense that the munawala is that there is an actual exchange of physical asal. Right. If that's not the case, if the teacher gave the book and then took it back, gave the hadith and took it back straight away, then that will be just like any other kind of ijazah, where the teacher says, I have given you ijazah to do riwayat from me, and this is the way that you riwayat, and this is the book that you do riwayat from me. Does that make sense?
Yes. So the condition of the loaning is that it's loaned for enough time to copy the book.
Yeah. So in order for it to be munawala. وَإِذَا خَلَتِ الْمُنَاوَلَةُ عَنِ الْإِذْنِ لَمْ يُعْتَبَرْ بِهَا عِنْدَ الْجُمْهُورِ. And when the munawala is devoid of any ijaza, then this munawala is not mu'tabar according to the jumhur. So if the teacher just gives his book to a student, says, I'm giving you this as a hadiyah, as a present, that is not automatically an ijaza for the student to do riwayat of the book. Yeah. وَجَنَحَ مَنِ اعْتَبَرَهَا إِلَى أَنَّ مُنَاوَلَتَهُ إِيَّهُ تَقُومْ مَقَامَ رِسَالِهِ إِلَيْهِ بِالْكِتَابِ مِنْ بَلَدٍ إِلَى بَلَدٍ. And some people who basically said that just the mere dint of munawala is actually ijaza, they basically did qiyas, and they said wajanaha mani atabaraha, and those people who considered munawala i'tabaraha ijazatan bidun al-idhni, right? those who deemed munawala to be ijaza, even if there is no idhn there, their argument is anna munawalatuhu iyyahu taqumu maqama irsalihi ilayhi bil kitab min baladin ila balad. The fact that he has given that book or that asl to the student is qa'im maqam, is the same as a teacher sending a letter from one place to another place, you know, with giving a hadith to the student. This kitabatan is basically seen as an ijaza. The munawala should also be seen as an ijaza. Now, so that's the argument, that if somebody basically writes hadith, then the reason why and they're far away, the reason why they are writing a hadith and sending it to a student is automatically kitabatan, it is an ijaza, right? So that same way, they're saying that if the sheikh gives something, right, then that in itself is an ijaza. But that doesn't necessarily have to be the case, because a sheikh might just give the asl to someone as a hadiyah without giving that person an ijaza. Yeah. وقد ذهب إلى صحة الرواية بالكتابة المجردة جماعة من الأئمة ولو لم يقرن ذلك بالإذن بالرواية كأنهم اكتفوا في ذلك بالقرينة ولم يظهر لي فرق قوي بين مناولة الشيخ من يده للطالب وبين إرساله إليه بالكتاب من موضع إلى آخر إذا خلا كل منهما عن الإذن. So there is a qiyas here, right? There is a maqis and maqis alay, right? Maqis is the munawala. Maqis alay is the kitaba. Some scholars are of the opinion that if a muhaddis writes something kitabatan, some hadiths, and sends it to a different district, to a student, then even if that is, there is no ijaza, isn't there, the mere dint of doing that kitaba and sending it, that is seen as an ijaza. So it is those scholars who basically say munawala is also the maqis, is also the same. Imam Ibn Hajar Asqalani rahmatullahi alayhi is responding to that, and he's saying that there is no difference, you know, in my opinion, as to whether you give a book munawalatan or you give it kitabatan. If it's bereft of any idhn ijaza, then in neither cases should they be taken to mean ijaza. Yeah, so he's basically saying, you know, you make your maqis alay kitaba. But who's saying that kitaba, mere dint of kitaba? You have to say katabani fulanun ijazatan. Or there has to be some kind of qarina saying that the kitaba has got ijaza with it. Does that make sense? So he's debunking the maqis alay, that even your maqis alay is problematic. Yeah. وقد ذهب إلى صحة رواية بالكتابة المجرد جماعة من الأئمة. A group of scholars have basically opined that just mere writing hadith or asl is an ijaza. Sending it through writing is ijaza, even though that is not associated with any kind of ijaza. كأنهم اكتفوا في ذلك بالقرينة. It is as though they have sufficed with this understanding because of the qarina. The qarina is the fact that he has gone through the trouble of sending hadiths from one place to another. Why would they do that if they're not giving the ijaza? Okay, well, we can say, well, not necessarily. He might just basically be sending, like the way that we give books to others as hadiyah, doesn't necessarily mean that now you've become my disciple. Does that make sense? So it might have just been He's sending something. وَلَمْ يَظْهَرْ لِي فَرْقٌ قَوِيٌّ بَيْنَ مُنَاوَلَةِ الشَّيْخِ مِنْ يَدِهِ لِلطَّالِبِ وَبَيْنَ إِرْسَالِهِ إِلَيْهِ بِالْكِتَابِ مِنْ مَوْضِعٍ إِلَىٰ آخَرٍ إِذَا خَلَا كُلٌّ مِنْهُمَا عَنِ الْإِذْنِ. And he says that there isn't a strong difference between me, between the مُنَاوَلَةُ الشَّيْخ to the student, you know, to the student's hand directly, and through sending a letter from far away, if both of them are bereft of any ijazah. It says both of them are not accepted, right? So we can't make one the maqis and maqis alay. Even the maqis alay is problematic. Yeah?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
وَكَذَا اشْتَرَتُوا الْإِذْنِ فِي الْوِجَادَةِ. And similarly, the ulama have made it a condition that ijazah is necessary in wijada. Wijada is something that has been found. So let's say 50 years later, somebody finds this book in my library, finds a book, and there it basically says, I don't know if you can see this. Can you see this emblem?
Yep.
Yeah, so in that emblem, it basically said from the library of Dr. Mansur Ali, and they see this and they basically say, okay, I found this. It's from Dr. Mansur Ali's library. This is an ijazah for me. Yeah. Or somebody bought a new house and they go into the attic and they find all of these manuscripts, and they basically say, well, these, I found these manuscripts, these are old. The fact that I have these manuscripts now, this is ijaza for me to do riwayat from that sheikh. So Imam Ibn Hajar Asqalani is saying, no, even in wijada, there needs to be a conditional, you know, idhn. And that is that the author might write something like, whoever finds this manuscript, this book of mine, and the person meets the condition of taqwa and of Islam and taqwa, and is knowledgeable in hadith, only then they are able to do riwayat of this from me. If those conditions are met, then one is able to do a riwayat through wijada from the sheikh. So you do get that, yeah?
So the sheikh would write that, like, in his book, so that if somebody found it?
Yeah. Because, you know, after they die, the legacy still remains, right? So they might want to circumvent the amount of people narrating directly from them in that sense. So they might basically give an ijaza, but it's basically a conditional ijaza. Yeah, a restrictive clause, as they call it. Yeah.
Interesting.
وَهِيَ أَيَّجِدَ بِخَطْ يَعْرِفُ كَاتِبَهُ فَيَقُولُ وَجَدْتُ بِخَطِّ فُلَانٍ. So he says that the person finds something in the handwriting of a sheikh, and he knows the sheikh because he recognizes the handwriting. That's only one example. فَيَقُولُ وَجَدْتُ بِخَطِّ فُلَانٍ, and he says that I found in the writing of Fulan and Fulan. وَلَا يَسُوخُ فِيهِ إِطْلَاقُ أَخْبَرْنِي بِمُجَرَّدِ ذَلِكَ إِلَّا إِنْ كَانَ لَهُ مِنْهُ إِذْنٌ بِالرِّوَايَةِ عَنْهُ. And it is not appropriate for him to say مُطْلَقًا أَخْبَرْنِي just by finding that. Okay, so he can say وَجَدْتُ بِخَطِّ فُلَان. Sometimes people say this, you know, I think Imam Dhahabi or others have read it somewhere. They basically say وَجَدْتُ بِخَطِّ شَيْخِ الْإِسْلَامِ ابْنِ تَيْمِيَةِ, that I found in the handwriting of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah this and that, and they're quoting. And it's the same way that we basically quote books, you know. Maulana Muaz Chatti writes in his book. So that's basically quotation. This is what it's talking about. But you can't basically say that Maulana Muaz Chatti told me akhbarani, because he didn't. Do you understand?
Right.
Unless there is some kind of ijaza there, you know, you can quote and say wajadtu bi khatti fulan, or it is written in such and such books, without basically saying akhbarani. That's what they're saying. Yeah. إلا إن كان له منه إذن بالرواية عنه, except when the person who found it has got إجازة to the riwayah from the sheikh. وَأَطْلَقَ قَوْمٌ ذَلِكَ فَغُلِّتُ, and a group of scholars have allowed it generally. Allowed it generally means that whenever you find something, it is permissible for you to narrate from the author directly. فَغُلِّتُ, they have been declared to be wrong or shown to be wrong. Yeah, well, this is obvious. وَكَذَا الْوَصِيَّ بِالْكِتَابِ. Similarly, the same conditions are to be met in when there is a will, or you know, willing of the book, in the sense that somebody dies and says, after I die, my books are to be given to such and such person or such and such library. Like, for example, I went to Oxford Center for Islamic Studies the other day, last week. And they have the Sheikh Abdul Fattah Abu Ghudda collection there. So that was a wasiya, you know, that it was there. So we have a Professor Bill Gent, who used to write on Hivs. When he died, he donated his books, well, his he wanted his books to come to our library here in Cardiff University. So you do this wasiya, right, of your books. So just because somebody did wasiya to someone else doesn't necessarily mean that that's automatically an ijaza. Wasiya is to wasiya to make somebody an owner of the book. Making somebody an owner of an asal of a book doesn't necessarily give them the ijaza to do riwayat. It's two different things. Yeah. وهو أن يوصي عند موته أو سفره لشخص معين بأصله أو بأصوله. And that is that a person wills, at his death or when he's gone traveling, for a specific person, his manuscripts, a manuscript, his asl, or more than one of his manuscripts. فَقَدْ قَالَ قَوْمٌ مِنَ الْأَئِمَّةِ الْمُتَقَدِّمِينَ يَجُوزُ لَهُ أَنْ يَرْوِيَ تِلْكَ الْأُصُولَ عَنْهُ بِمُجَرَّدِ هَذِهِ الْوَصِيَّةِ وَأَبَى ذَلِكَ الْجُمْهُورُ إِلَّا إِنْ كَانَ لَهُ مِنْهُ إِجَازَةٌ. So some of the mutaqaddimun mentioned that it is permissible for the testator, the person who's receiving the books, the asl, that mere dint of willing is enough for that person to narrate directly from the asl. But the majority of the scholars have basically said, no, this is not possible, illa an kana lahu minhu ijaza, except when, unless he has ijaza from before, from the author. Now, the upshot of all of this is, you know, whether it's mukataba or mushafaha or, you know, munawala or wasiya, the upshot of all of this is that the jamhur are of the opinion that one is not allowed to directly narrate from the author unless there is a clear cut ijaza to given to the person to do riwayat from him. That is the upshot of all of this discussion. You know, whether it's munawala, whether it's mukataba, whether it's mushafaha, whether it's wijada, whether it's wasiya. That is the upshot of all of this. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. وَكَذَا اشْتَرَتُ الْإِذْنِ بِالْرِوَايَةِ فِي الْإِعْلَامِ. Similarly, the ulama have mentioned that there is ijaza is a condition when somebody does ijaza of riwaya is a condition when somebody does an announcement, he's imparting information, right? For example, a khatib goes, you know, on a Friday and he's basically saying sab'atun yudhilluhumullahu fi dhillihi yawma la dhilla illa dhillu. He is doing i'lan and he's doing i'lam. He is teaching that hadith to people from the minbar. The mere fact that he's mentioning that hadith, this is i'lam and i'lan. Does that mean that everybody in the khutbah who's present in the khutbah now have got ijaza to narrate from him? Somebody might think, well, he's a muhaddith and he's narrating this hadith to us. The fact that he's narrated this hadith to us, that basically means that we can now narrate it from him. They can basically say, so the saying, kada ishtaratu al-idhn bil riwayah. No, there is has to be idhn bil riwayah. Somebody can say, oh, the Sheikh Khatib today mentioned this hadith, right? That's fine. We're not talking about that. We're talking about inserting yourself into the chain of transmission. That's what we're talking about. Yeah. So even in I'lam, in order to make this a part of the Isnad tradition, there needs to be al-Idhn bi riwayah. That's what it's saying.
But Sheikh, if you heard the hadith, let's say there's a lecture, and let's say that the Sheikh gave the entire chain, like he was saying, like samatu and hadathan, and you know, goes back with the whole chain. Couldn't you then, without even ijaza, you've heard it, or is that go back to what you said that unless you're actually studying it?
That's if you just heard it. You know, if it's basically, I mean, you have to understand what the nature of of that sama is. You know, if you're studying with the scholar and he's teaching you, then at the end he'll give you an ijaza, then that's an ijaza. Nowadays you have ijaza shahada alimiya, which is an institutional ijaza. That's still an ijaza because everybody signs on that, and there is an understanding that whatever you've learned from your teacher, you are now able to go and pass it on. But if a muhaddis is just giving his isnad, then that's only he's giving his isnad. He's doing i'lam that he has an isnad that is ikhbar, but it is not ijaza, isn't for you to go and narrate. So there needs to be some clarification.
Okay.
Yeah. Wahiya and yu'lima shaykhu. So this is one particular example that they're giving of what i'lam is. I gave you the other one where he's talking about in the khutbah, the hadith, because that will make more sense to you. وَهُوَ أَن يُعْلِمَ الشَّيْخُ أَحَدَ الطَّلَبَةِ بِأَنَّنِي أَرْوِي الْكِتَابَ الْفُلَانِي عَنْ فُلَانِ. And that is that the Shaykh says to one of his students that I narrate the book of such and such from such and such. So if basically I say to you, oh, I've got ijaza from, you know, Sheikh Muhammad al-Ninawi to narrate the 40 hadith of Imam al-Nawawi, me doing i'lam and telling you about this, or even me even teaching you the 40 hadith, generally doesn't give you an automatic ijaza to be a part of the isnad. Yeah. فَإِنْ كَانَ لَهُ مِنْهُ إِجَازَةٌ أُعْتُبِرَ وَإِلَّا فَلَا عِبْرَةَ بِذَلِكَ. If the student already has an ijaza from that sheikh, like a general ijaza, that the sheikh has basically said that everything that I have narrated, you're allowed to narrate from me. Generic, I've given you generic, and then he's specifically mentioning this, then that i'lam is an ijaza because the sheikh has already given ijaza. وَإِلَّا فَلَا عِبْرَةَ بِذَلِكَ. If there isn't a ijaza, then the i'lam of the sheikh to the student has got no value as far as the riwayah is concerned. Similarly,
quick question.
Yeah.
Sorry, go on.
Yeah. Carry on, it's a new discussion.
Would that be a form of tadlis? So for example, if a sheikh does i'lam and then somebody goes off and saying, you know, I heard the sheikh say, you know, this, etc., et cetera, would that be a form of tadlis?
Tadlis is done maliciously, right?
Yeah.
If you basically say, I heard Sheikh Mansur basically said that he narrated this, you know, book from Sheikh Nuruddin al-Itr, and he's just doing i'lam of that, and you just do i'lam of that, but you don't basically say that an I from him, then that really won't be tadlis. You're just doing ikhbar. But if you basically say if you give an impression that you have heard this from me and insert yourself into that chain, then that will be tadlis.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. So he's saying kal ijaza al amma fil mujazi lahu la fil mujazi bihi. Yeah. كأن يقول أجزت لجميع المسلمين أو لمن أدرك حياتي أو لأهل الإقليم الفلاني أو لأهل البلد الفلانية، وهو أقرب إلى الصحة لقرب الانحسار. So he's saying, like the ijaza amma, okay, to the mujaz lahu, and not the mujaz bihi. Mujaz lahu is the person who is being given the ijaza, the student. That's the mujaz lahu, the person who is being given the ijaza. That's the student. La fil mujaz bihi. Mujaz bihi is the thing that is being given ijaza of. That is the book. Yeah. So the mujaz bihi is the hadith or the book. So there is wakadha ishtaratu al idhn bil riwaya fil i'lami. كَالْإِجَازَ الْعَامَّ فِي الْمُجَازْ لَهُ. Similarly, it is a condition, I'm reading here, it is a condition, one of the condition is that there has to be an permission to the riwayah in the case of i'lam, and similarly, in the case of ijaza amma to the mujaz lahu. Right, so kal ijazat al amma fil mujaz lahu, the way that you give an ijaza amma to the mujaz lahu. So when the teacher gives a generic ijaza to a particular person, right, and basically says, you narrate everything that I have narrated. So I give you the permission to narrate everything that I have narrated. That is al-izn bil riwaya fil mujaz lahu. Yeah, al-izn بالروايه في المجاز له لا في المجاز به. مجاز به is so okay, let me just look at the sharh here because sometimes I forget there was a subtle difference here that he was talking about. Just need to get my head around this. And there is no, I mean, I don't find it embarrassing that I need to look into the shuruhat as well, because we're all learning. So let's have a look at and learn together what he's saying. We haven't done Asma ul Husna. Done all this. The hadith are Asma ul Husna. Go back. We've gone too far. Let's pause this. I'll find it. There we go. We went too far. Siyagul Adha, right? 663. we done this? Yeah, one other. Yes. Yeah, so I كعدم اعتبار الإجازة العامة على الأصح في المجا الذي أجز له وهو التلميذ لا في وهو الحديث أي عدم الاعتبار في الإعلام والإجازة العامة خاص في المجاز له أما المجاز به فلا شك في اعتباري وجوازه سواء كان عامة فإن فالنفي okay so I understand what he's saying. Oops. Okay, so what is basically saying is that in the way that the student, so in the student, the like the way that you need to specify. Right, there's some conditions and you need to specify in i'lam and wijada of riwaya. Similarly, in the student, you can't basically say that I give ijaza to everyone. Yeah, kal ijaza ala ma fil mujaza. I give ijaza to everyone to do riwayat from me. You can't do that. Those kind of ijaza amma is not accepted. Right, you have to confine it. I give ijaza to every single student who has read from me. Right, because when you say everyone, you can say I give ijazah to everyone until the day of judgment to study from me. That is not accepted. This is why I'm saying kal ijazah al-amma fil mujazi lahu. Right, that in the mujaz lahu, you can't open it so much. It needs to be circumvented. It needs to be restricted. Right, la fil mujaz bihi, but you don't need to do that restriction in the actual mujaz bihi in the books itself. What does that mean? I can say that to Hussein, everything that I have done narration, you can narrate. So I don't need to specify this book, this book, this book. Oh, the mujaz bihi, I can basically do generic, but the mujaz lahu, then it needs to be some kind of conditions there. One of the basic conditions is that this person is aware of hadith. Or you can do an ijaza of barakah for everyone, and that will be an ijaza of barakah. You need to make some kind of condition there as to what is the nature of the ijaza. Does that make sense? This is what it means by kal ijaza al amma fil mujaz lahu, that like the ijaza amma in mujaz lahu, it's not permissible to do an ijaza al amma to the students or to the people without some kind of conditions. But in the mujaz bihi, there is no condition. You can say everything that I have narrated. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah, so here, if we look at Sheikh Yasin al-Fadani, he basically says, in the Musalsalat, he says, وَتَلَقَّوْهَا مِنِّي عَلَى شُرُوتِهَا And Jazakallah for sending us, Umar, that hadith on Musalsala bil-Eid. وَتَلَقَّوْهَا مِنِّي عَلَى شُرُوتِهَا مُسَلْسَلَ بِعَمَالِ الْقَوْلِيَّةِ وَالْفِعْلِيَّةِ وَأَجَزْتُهُمْ بِهَا إِجَازَةً خَاصَةً And these people who studied this Musalsalat with me, I give them a khas ijaza to narrate from me wa ala ra'si mazamil Sheikh Muhammad Ibrahim al-Khutani summa al-Madani kama ajastuhum bi jami'i marwiyati wa mu'allafati right and he says similarly I give them ijaza so you know these people the mujaz lahu right they are khas it's a specific group of students who are all hadith scholars Right, so they are khas. So the condition is met. It is an ijaza amma, but there is a specification there. But then he basically says, "Kama ajastum bi jami'i marwiyati mu'allafati." He does ijaza amma in the mujaz bihi. Yeah, but then he goes, "Bal qad ajastu bi jami'i dhalika ahla asri wa waqti." Then he basically goes and makes the mujaz lahu. widely open. He makes it generic, and he says everyone in my time and in my period, I give them ijaza. That kind of ijaza is not accepted. Sheikh Yasin Fardani is Muhammad Yasin Fardani is knows very well, but he knows that that is only an ijaza of barakah. Okay, it is not an ijaza where you insert yourself into the isnad and become a part of the riwayat of the hadith. Does that make sense? Here we're talking about being a part of the riwayat of hadith, not ijaza for the sake of barakah. Yeah, is that okay?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, so he basically, for example, he says, كأن يقول أجزت لجميع المسلمين أو لمن أدرك حياتي أو لأهل الإقليم الفلاني. Such as he says, I give ijaza to all of the Muslims or whoever has found my lifetime or لأهل الإقليم الفلاني or such and such continent أو لأهل البلد الفلانية or such and such country. وهو أقرب إلى الصحة لقرب الانحسار. And these are closer to siha because they are circumvented. Okay, so if is subscribing circumventing it to a small group of people, right, and these people have got a particular condition, which is the Dura Hadith scholar, then that's fine. But if it's ijaza amma, then this is not permissible in the Mujaz Lahu without kind of circumventing it. And this is what exactly what he's saying, Sheikh Muhammad Yasin al-Fadani. كَمَا أَجَسْتُهُمْ بِجَمِيعِ مَرْوِيَاتِ وَبَلْ قَدْ أَجَسْتُ بِجَمِيعِ ذَلِكَ أَهْلُ عَصْرِ وَوَقْتِ. So he's saying أَهْلُ عَصْرِ وَوَقْتِ, but that will just be an ijaza of barakah. If he's basically means ijaza to do riwaya, then this is not sahih, because not all of the Ahlul Asr and Ahlul Waqt will know the intricacies of hadith sciences. Okay. وكذا الإجازة للمجهول كأن يكون مبهما أو مهملا. Similarly, إجازة of an unknown person, in the sense that this person is مبهم. Mubham in the sense that we don't know who that person is, or muhmal in the sense that there are more than few people with the same name and we don't know who is being giving the ijaza. That is not also permissible unless you define who that person is. Again, remember, this is to do with ijaza bil riwaya, not ijaza bil barakah. Okay. وكذا الإجازة للمعدوم. And similarly, إجازة للمعدوم is not permissible. كأن يقول أجزت لمن سيولد لفلان. That something إجازة for someone who does not exist, such as they say أجزت لمن سيولد لفلان. That I have given إجازة for anybody who will be sired by this person, anybody that this person will give birth to. وَقَدْ كِيلَ إِنْ عَتَفَهُ عَلَى مَوْجُودٍ صَحَّةٍ. And one opinion is that if is connected to ijaza to a living person, then that is sahih. كَأَنْ يَقُولْ أَجَزْتُ لَكَ وَلِمَنْ سَيُولَدُ لَكَ. That I have given ijaza to you and your progeny. والأقرب عدم الصحة. And the more closer, better opinion is that this kind of إجازة المعدوم is not صحيح. وكذلك الإجازة لموجود أو معدوم علقت بالشرط مشيئة الغير. And similarly, إجازة for a living person or a non-existing person, if it is conditional on someone else's pleasure, كي يقول أجزت لك إن شاء فلان أو أجزت لمن شاء فلان. لا يقول أجزت لك إن شئت وهذا في الأصحي وهذا في الأصحي في جميع ذلك. So he says that you can't kind of make it معلق, contingent upon somebody else's mashi'a, right? I give you ijaza if such and such person agrees, or I give you ijaza if such and such person wants it. لا يقول أجزت لك إن شئت. Not just to look at Inshatta, this is excluded from this. If you want, then you know I have given you ijaza, because there is then that is fine in the sense that you know I have given you ijaza. If you want, now you can do riwayah from me. Now, whether somebody does riwayah or not, that's their problem. But they have been given the ijaza. Okay. وَهَذَا فِي الْأَصَحِّ فِي جَمِيعِ ذَلِكَ. And all of this is the sahih opinion related to all of this that we have mentioned, that the upshot in all of this is that there needs to be al-idhn bil-riwayah. وَقَدْ جَوَّزَ الْرِوَايَةَ بِجَمِيعِ ذَلِكَ سِوَى الْمَجْهُولِ مَا لَمْ يَتَبَيَّنَ الْمُرَادُ مِنْهُ الْخَتِيبُ. And all of this, Khatib al-Baghdadi has given ijaza made permissible, like all of this. You know, you can do kitabatan, but it doesn't need to be idhn bi riwaya. You can do mushafatan, it doesn't need to be idhn bi riwaya. You can do wijadatan, it doesn't need to be idhn bi riwaya. You can do munawalatan, it doesn't need idhn bi riwaya. You can do ijaza amma, you can do, you know, ijaza muallaqa, all of this, other than the majhul, case of the majhul, as long as we don't know who the majhul is. Khatib al-Baghdadi says that it is jaiz. So he has kind of expanded the ijazat of of people by this. Well, again, during his time, the terminologies were still developing. وَحَكَاهُ عَنْ جَمَاعَةٍ مِّن مَشَايِخِهِ. And he also narrated this from a group of his teachers. وَاسْتَعْمَلَ الْإِجَازَ لِلْمَعْدُومِ مِنَ الْقُدَمَاءِ أَبُو بَكْرِ بْنِ دَاوُدِ وَأَبُو عَبْدِ اللَّهِ بْنِ مَنْدَى. And a number of scholars who also used ijazatul ma'dum, ijaza for people who are not alive. Imam Abu Bakr ibn Abi Dawood wa Abu Abdullah ibn Manda. But I can be sure that these are ijaza for baraka and not ijaza for actual sama', right? واستعمل المعلق منهم أيضا أبو بكر بن أبي خيثمة. And also Abu Bakr ibn Abu Khaythama has also used the ijaza which is contingent upon the mashia on someone else. Again, that will be for baraka. وروى بالإجازة الأمة جمع كثير جمعهم بعض الحفاظ في كتاب ورتبهم على حروف المعجم لكثرتهم. And a group of scholars have done a narration with ijaza amma, and ulama have mentioned these in their books and have organized them according to the alphabets. Yeah. Is there any questions before we move on? Imam Ibn Salah says, وَكُلُّ ذَلِكَ كما قال ابن الصلاة توسع غير مرضي لأن الإجازة الخاصة معينة مختلف في صحتها اختلافا قويا عند القدماء وإن كان العمل استقر على اعتبارها عند المتأخرين فهي دون السماع بالاتفاق فكيف إذا حصل في الاسترسال المذكور فإنها تزداد ضعفا أو ضعفا لكن في الجملة خير من إيراد الحديث معدلا والله تعالى أعلم. Imam Ibn Salah says all of this is kind of expanding the remits of what hadiths accept can be transmitted with what type of ijaza, ghayr mardhi, which is not very likable. We're not very happy with that. Because even لِأَنَّ الْإِجَازَ الْخَاصَ الْمُعَيَّنَ, because even the specific ijaza mu'ayyan mukhtalafun fi sihhatiha ikhtilafan qawiyan 'inda al-qudama, there is a heavy ikhtilaf as to whether that is sahih according to the earlier scholars, meaning that if someone did not study a book with a scholar, but the scholar basically says to that specific person that I have given you ijazat of everything that I've narrated, whether a person can then use that as inserting himself in the isnad, or whether they can't, I mean, nobody has a problem that this is about, you know, whether this is barakah or not. That nobody has a problem with that. But whether they can insert themselves in the isnad, there has been heavy ikhtilaf amongst the scholars, the mutaqaddimin. وَإِنْ كَانَ الْعَمَلُ إِسْتَقَرَّ عَلَىٰ إِعْتِبَارِهَا عِنْدَ الْمُتَأْخِرِينَ. Even though the mutaakhirun have accepted that and they said, yeah, that's fine. فَهِيَ دُونَ السِّمَاعَ بِالْإِتِّفَاقِ. This, however, this type of ijaza khasa muayyana is lower than actual audition. The actual audition is when you study with the sheikh, right? When you study with the sheikh and then you study and the sheikh then give you ijaza. This is different from a sheikh basically saying, I'll give you ijaza, right? Even though that is specific to a person, it might be a specific book, but still there is an ikhtilaf whether you can insert yourself into the isnad or not. فكيف إذا حصل فيها الاسترسال المذكور. So how, if there is an اختلاف in that, then how can that, where there is a break in it, a known break in it, how can that you know, how can that be accepted? For example, إجازة المعدوم. The معدوم, the person who's not even alive yet, is not even born, so there is a direct, there is إجازة is منقطع to that person, and the person is not alive. How can we accept the ijazah for that, where even ijazah khassa is not is heavily disputed? فَإِنَّهَا تَزْدَادُ ضَعْفًا. That is more, that increases the weakness in the hadith. لكنها في الجملة خير من إيراد الحديث معدلا والله تعالى أعلم. However, the upshot of this is that even that kind of ijaza, the ijaza of ma'doom, yeah, the ijaza of ma'doom, or even ijaza of baraka, like ijaza of baraka, is better than having narrating the hadith mu'dalan, where there's two people missing. I think this might be theoretical. I need to find an example of this. Right. So, for example, let's say Imam al-Suyuti rahmatullahi alayhi was 3 years old when Ibn Hajar died. And Imam al-Suyuti says that he remembers his father taking him to Ibn Hajar. You know, Ibn Hajar was born in 849. Ibn Hajar died in 851. Imam Suyuti was born in 849. So when Imam Suyuti was 2-3 years old, that's when Ibn Hajar died. So, you know, Imam Suyuti says that he remembered going to Ibn Hajar's majlis with his father. But his ijaza, if Imam Ibn Hajar did give ijaza, that ijaza will not be ijaza of riwayah because he was too small. It will be ijaza of barakah. But that will be better than narrating a hadith which two people are missing. Does that make sense? It says, وَإِلَىٰ هُنَا إِنْتَهَىٰ الْكَلَامُ فِي أَقْسَامِ السِّيَغِ الْأَدَاءِ. Here finishes the discussion on the terminologies related to transmission. Are there any questions?
You know, sometimes the mashayikh, when they give you an ijaza for like a hadith or something, they say to say qubiltu al-ijaza. Is that like, do you have to actually accept it or say that you accept the ijaza, or this is just a, you know, question related to a general question?
I don't think you need to accept the ijaza. This is what they were saying here, that this is what they were saying here, that if you say ajastu laka in shi'ta, that is permissible because it's up to the student whether he wants to do the riwayat or not. So you don't really need to say qubiltu or qabiltu. Yeah. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Any other questions? No. Okay, inshallah, I will see you all next week. Okay, take care.
Assalamu alaikum.